This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is this?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney. Here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass and getting you some news from the Nest. We've been looking over this Ravens defense the last couple of days, and Benny, we left off yesterday looking at the defensive line. A lot of talent on the defensive line. You got, especially in the middle, with Matabike and Travis Jones right there. Michael Pierce was there. Don't necessarily know what the future holds for him. Brody as well. I guess you are you combining the edge guys? Like, do we have Owe in them in here as well?
Owe, yeah.
Okay.
No doubt. You know, and Malik Harrison we can throw in there too. You know, and yeah. But the thing about it is, let's start with Travis Jones. I mean, he had 42 tackles, you know, and he had a sack and four tackles for loss. I think he keeps getting better. You know, I like Travis Jones. I think Travis Jones got a chance to be real good. You know, I mean, how many games did he play on one leg?
Too many.
Yeah. I mean, quite a few, because he had to, because Pierce was out too. So you just needed that size in there to be able to hold up and stop the run. But I think he's a really talented kid, and I think he's getting better. And I think the better shape he's in and the better he shapes his body, he'll even be a better player. And I like the fact that last year, I think he went down to Atlanta, hung out with Matabike. And I think if he does that again, because he's got pass rush skill. And he'll chase, he can find the ball. He's got all the things that you want. You know, and his contract's coming up too, Cordell. So that's going to be an interesting, you know, he's young. And having 42 tackles is pretty good, because he can find a football. He can punch. He can lock out. He can take two. He can make life easier for the inside backers. But I think he is a plus player for them. Just needs to just stay healthy is the biggest thing. And Matabike, you know, everybody will say, you know, he didn't have the 13 sacks like he did last year. He still had 43 tackles, 6.5 sacks, and 11 tackles for loss and one pass defense. I thought as he was getting a lot of attention, he got a lot of attention early, you know, and he was getting doubled a lot. I thought he really came on at the end. And then they started moving him around outside, inside, stunting and twisting to help him out. You know, free him up a little bit. But he's got pass rush skill, and I don't know what his quarterback hits were and hurt. You know, he did. I mean, I remember a couple late hits that he did have, but Matabike is still a hell of a player, and I think with Matabike and Travis Jones, you got a hell of a combination on the inside with those two guys, because Travis, or with Matabike, he can play outside, he can play inside. I think he can be, especially if he gets singled up, he can be a mismatch over the guard or the center. Same with Travis Jones. I mean, we've seen him walk those dudes back, and, you know, against Buffalo, he made some real nice plays too. So those two guys, I think they're solid in there. Now, Broderick Washington, I thought last year he was really bad, Cordell. I thought this year he played much better. And he had 21 tackles and 2 sacks and 2 pass defense. But as a rotational guy, I think he's fine in that rotation. Because the thing is they all play to run well. And they were number one against the run. But they do a nice job playing the run, punching, locking out, keeping your shoulders square. He's not as big as the other guys, but I think he's good in the rotation. Now, after that, Brent Urban, he had 20 tackles. Might be time to retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think probably time for him to retire. And Michael Pierce had 19 tackles, 2 sacks, and he played 11 games. Urban played 13. Might be time for Michael to retire, too. So they're going to have to add a couple dudes on the inside. I mean, they got 3 guys that I really like, Cordell. And then, you know, after that, they're going to have to find some. They're going to have to find some depth, some rotational guys. But as the season went along, especially in the playoffs and stuff, Matabike and Travis, they were playing a lot of plays. You know, they were playing, I don't know if it was like 60%, but they were playing a lot of plays.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that capability where they can do that. All right, now on the outside, let's look at Tavius Robinson. I like the kid. Now, is he a pass rusher? No, I don't think he's a pass rusher. I think he had 32 tackles. He had 3.5 sacks. And he had 4 tackles for loss and 1 pass defense. The thing that he does, he plays the run extremely well. And he does a good job setting the edge. And he's bigger, you know, so he's got some size and anchor ability to him. He'll bull rush guys, you know, and he's going to get sacks. He's not going to get sacks by win rate. He's going to get sacks by, you know, quarterback extending the play and somebody else is chasing him and he gets the sack. That's him. But what they did a lot was, you know, when they were playing teams that ran it and stuff, he was in there to start. Olway was on the bench. Olway was only playing the passing situation. Tavius Robinson was playing the run. So I really like Tavius Robinson as a player. And he's an older, I think he's like 26 or 27 years old now. But he is a plus for them, especially against the run. Vannoy, I mean, what can you say about Vannoy? I mean, it's, who would have thought 12.5 sacks, 41 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, and 2 pass defense? I think the thing that helped him was, you know, I mean, he came off the couch and got 9 sacks. But being there all off season, training, doing those things, I think really helped him. He was in football shape when he got there. Guys like him, older guys like him that are super smart, allow him to make plays because he understands what's going on out there, and they stunt and twist him a lot. He's got a little spin counter move in there too. But he was a pleasant surprise. Played the run better than I thought, better than he did the year before too. But like when they run boots and stuff, he's so smart because you see him. You know, like, he knows the running back's coming in the flat, so he can kind of stay between him, keep the quarterback contained. But he does a hell of a job against those running-type quarterbacks, the Josh Allens of the world, not to get sucked in. Understands his pass rush lanes. Understand what he's got to do. So I really like him because he's super smart. But, well, we'll talk about Owe. Now, Owe had 39 tackles, 10 sacks, 9 tackles for loss. Always an okay run player. He chases the ball well. He doesn't win a ton. He can win every now and then, but he's not consistent winning against the tackles. If he gets a good get off, and he's gotten a little better bending the corner. I seen a little spin move back inside that he showed, but not consistent. Nothing's consistent because a lot of times you're like, how do we play today? I don't remember. You know, and that happens way too much because he should be more with his athleticism and stuff. He needs to be more dumb. He gets stopped too many times. And, you know, I mean, he goes down to – I don't like when a pass – unless you got good – you know, a pass rusher that just goes down the cylinder and tries to push – he's not big enough to bull rush dudes. That's his – you know, I mean, what is he, 250, 245? He's got to – you know, that get-off. That get-off has got to be his thing. You know, and get on that tackle quick. Get on the edge quicker. You know, and more consistently. Would I pick up his fifth-year option? They already picked it up. Would I sign him long-term? I got to wait another year and see if he can. You know, because he was averaging 5 sacks, and then all of a sudden he gets 10. Who is the real guy?
Yeah.
But they need a real guy, Cordell. You know, I mean, it was nice, and they were number 2 in sacks. But as we know, win rates and stuff. I mean, the secondary's got to shut down the receivers and stuff, and they get sacks because of other things that go on, like the pressure up the middle. A lot of times they're getting sacks because pressure comes up the middle, and the quarterback's got nowhere to step up, and he's got to scramble, and then they get sacks. So they need a legit pass rush dude, legit guy, you know, and can they get by with Vannoy and Owe? Well, if those are going to be your guys, then you got to stunt. You can't do what Philly did and just rush four and expect to get pressure. They can't do that because what they've got to do is they've got to stunt. They've got to TE. They got to bring a linebacker. They've got to do those types of things to get the pressure because they don't get enough win rates.
And the crazy thing is they led the league in sacks last season after, you know.
Clowney did get some.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting some pressure. Not much in Carolina now.
I just find it funny, like you said, this year they're second in sacks. Last year they were first. And I just wonder when they're getting those types of results, and it's a lot that goes into that, like you said, win rate and pressure rate, all of that stuff isn't necessarily equated fully to sacks because they don't have a high pressure rate. But when they're finishing the season first or second in the league in sacks as a team, how much motivation do they have to go spend big money to go get the guy that I agree that they should go get a premier pass rusher. But for them, when they're having that team success, I don't know if they can push themselves to really spend that money to go get that guy.
Right. Well, here's the thing too, Cordell, that we got to realize is pass attempts by the opponent. The Ravens defense is 30th, giving up the most 625 pass attempts. So, rushing attempts were 383. So, twice as many pass attempts because it's hard to run and it's easy to throw. When you're 31st against the pass, people are going to, you know, attack you throwing the football. So, teams are throwing the ball a ton on them. So, their opportunity, Cordell, for sacks is greater than all but two teams in the league. So you got to factor that in, too.
No doubt. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market, bring in Nolan McGraw, answer some questions in the world of sports. That's next here on the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 1057, The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney today on this Valentine's Day, on a Friday at that, here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Behind the glass, we're playing a little buy or sell. Coming up at 12:30, we'll play you some more of the Mike Elias audio. He met with the media yesterday as pitchers and catchers reported. But right now, Vinny, what's the stock market looking like?
Well, Cordell's here, so we usually get some pretty decent numbers.
Excellent.
Yeah, well, the Dow's down 105. The S&P's down 1. NASDAQ is up 12. DraftKings, how about DraftKings? I don't know what the hell they got going on today. They're up $5.67. 52.12. That's the biggest jump I've seen from them. And Under Armour's down a dime.
Well, as far as sports topics here with the Orioles and the AL East as a whole, really, the Red Sox made a pretty big move earlier this week, landing Alex Bregman to become their new third baseman. Of course, this will likely move Rafael Devers to a full-time DH role, but elsewhere in that infield, a young rising star and Tristan Casas. Meanwhile, in Toronto, they'll bring back two staples in Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette. They also traded for Andrés Giménez a few months ago. In New York, Paul Goldschmidt. In addition, they'll return Jazz Chisholm and young shortstop Anthony Volpe. Now, the O's, they didn't do anything to their infield because they didn't need to. All returning young talent for them. Bright futures for really everybody there in that infield. Buy or sell, Cordell, after all the offseason shuffling, Baltimore still has the best infield in the division.
Oh, I'll buy that. I'll buy that. I mean, you've got a top five player in baseball in Gunnar Henderson, so that in itself is a huge one. I think Jordan Westberg was an all-star last year, and I think he could be even more if he puts together a fully healthy season. I still believe in the upside in Jackson Holliday. And look, Ryan Mountcastle, yeah, the power has gone down, but his defense has gone up over the last few years. So defensively, for sure, I think they have the best infield.
Over to the NFL, Aaron Rodgers leaving the Jets. That was expected for quite a while now, but yesterday became official. And it lines up with a recent report from Diana Russini that New York, in fact, told Rodgers that if he was going to continue to be a part of the team there in New York, that, you know, he would have to be there for all of the offseason activities, especially all of training camp, and no more weekly interviews on the Pat McAfee show. Now, it remains to be seen where he lands next, how many teams are actually interested in him at this point. But Vinny, buy or sell, a quarterback needy team will still be willing to put up with some of his media antics.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it because you got to have one. And I mean, the rumor was he was making like $1 million from McAfee. And I mean, if you're going to sign him and you say, we don't want you doing that, but he doesn't. When you listen to him, he doesn't say anything that hurts a team. He's always been like pro team.
Yeah, but it's probably a bad look, especially when your team stinks. And they had so much drama, you know, that everybody knows he's in the center of. I think that's it just looks bad.
Let's see, back to baseball. Earlier this week, the Padres added some more pitching depth by signing Nick Pivetta to a 4-year deal worth $55 million. He was one of the notable starters left on the market, but landing in San Diego does raise some questions about their strategy for 2025. Rumors have been circulating for a while now that they were trying to trade either Dylan Cease or Michael King, two guys coming up on free agency that could fetch a nice return. Buy or sell, Cordell, Pivetta's arrival signals that a trade is in fact on the horizon.
I'll soft buy that. I mean, when there's smoke, there's fire. We've heard Cease's name brought up in trades going all the way back to the All-Star break. So, to the trade deadline, I should say. So, I look, I don't know what they're doing out there, to be honest with you. I don't. I think the Pivetta signing is cool. But, yeah, I would lean that it is a sign that Cease could be gone soon.
One more topic for today, Ronnie Stanley, not just the biggest pending free agent for the Ravens this offseason, but maybe one of the biggest in the league. If you read a lot of these free agency rankings, he's being listed among the top five by most people, including Pete Prisco, who has him fifth on his recent list, behind only Kansas City's Trey Smith among O-linemen. Now, age difference is a factor here. Trey Smith in line for, I believe, his first big payday at 26 years old. Stanley, meanwhile, is 31. And, of course, we know that extensive injury history that comes with Stanley as well. Now, other part of it, demand for left tackle very high, whereas a guard, Trey Smith, a little bit less. Vinny, buy or sell, Stanley will fetch the largest O-line contract of the offseason.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. I don't think that it'll be as long as Trey Smith's. I mean, I'd be comfortable doing a 2-year deal, but if there's competition, you know, just like baseball pitchers, you may have to add years to it to be able to get him. But, you know, hopefully that Ronnie is over the injury, because it was all about one thing, basically, you know, that ankle. Because he wasn't hurt a bunch prior to that when he made All-Pro and got paid. So I think, because teams need him so badly. And it's not a good draft, which helps Ronnie tremendously.
And there's some teams out there with, you know, young quarterbacks. I think of Chicago.
Washington.
Washington. It's teams out there that have offensive line needs and are going to be looking to spend some money to fill that void. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Orioles, play some more Mike Elias audio. He met with the media yesterday. We'll play some Brandon Hyde audio in the 1 o'clock hour, but we'll hear from the GM next here on The Fan. We're playing some audio from Mike Elias, who met with the media yesterday out in Sarasota, where I'm sure it's a lot warmer than it is here in Baltimore right now. Let's hear from Mike Elias as he talks about one Heston Kjerstad.
Yeah, I do. I don't know that, you know, he needs to tear the cover off the ball in the Grapefruit League. You know, we've seen him do that already. He's played pretty well in a limited opportunity at the major league level. He's played really well in the minors. And, you know, he's 25, going on 26. And, you know, this is a big opportunity for him. And I think he's kind of earned the right to get a lot of the bats in the corner outfield and in the DH spot.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. I don't think Heston going out there and just you know, smacking the ball all over the place is going to change anybody's thought process about him. I think everybody knows he's an offensively gifted player. I think people know the power that he possesses. I think it would mean something for him to do it on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. But the number one thing for him is, you know, making himself look comfortable in the outfield. I think that's the number one thing. The Orioles have shown, especially during this regime, if you're going to get on the field, they have to be able to trust you defensively. And for Heston, I think that's the number one priority for him, is showing that they can trust him to be out there every day in the outfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an issue in the past, but I feel like when they threw him out there last year, he kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, same.
And if we're going to do the comparisons between him and Coby Mayo, and did that earlier in the show because they are very similar, they're in a similar spot right now in their career, I'd say he's got a much better shot of holding down a defensive spot, or at least being serviceable and not a liability out there. I mean, to be honest, he kind of surprised me last year. So in terms of all the outfielders they brought in this year, where he fits in, I'd have him above everybody besides maybe a Tyler O'Neill, and then that could be a platoon situation. O'Neill with the right-handed bat,
mm-hmm.
Kerstad is the left-handed bat. Could be something to consider, but I mean, if he's getting placed behind a Ramon Laureano, for example, I mean, that would be the kiss of death right there.
That would be a big time problem. Big time problem.
The thing that you got to count on too is, you know, just like we talked about with Holiday, what's he going to be doing in the offseason? He'll be working on, you know, his craft at second base to improve at second base. You don't think Kerstad's working his ass off, you know, on his outfield stuff, whatever he's got to do, you know, to get better as an outfielder? I guarantee he's going to be better than he was last year. You know, because you know that guy who comes through with, you know, the heart stuff that he had and everything, fight through all that, the adversity that he's had. You don't think he's working this offseason? I expect him to be much better in the outfield.
And I think it's, to Nolan's point, he surprised me as well, because I didn't get to see a lot of him, you know, in Norfolk and in his rise through the minor leagues. But I had always been told from people that had watched a lot of him that defense was a struggle point for him. And it felt like watching him last year, and I'm not saying that it was the cleanest, but I think mostly it was aesthetically not pleasing watching him. Sometimes it just would look awkward. He'd make the play, but it would just, it would look like he was struggling. Yeah, it definitely didn't look organic watching him out there sometimes.
Yeah, and that's all reps, especially at Camden Yards. And I'm not going to say playing right field at Camden Yards is easy, but Anthony Santander held it down there for a while.
With a bruised knee, too.
Yeah. So it's more so figuring out, you know, the nuances to the stadium, playing the ball off the wall, you know, getting a read on it off the bat, knowing, all right, that thing was hit pretty hard. This thing's probably coming off the wall. Let me position myself to get the carom. Stuff like that matters more than, to me, making the dazzling diving stop like a Cedric Mullins does.
Well, the other thing is, you know, like, what, a couple years ago? I mean, Mountcastle was a liability mm-hmm. at first base. Then the next year, whatever he did in that offseason, he was awesome at, you know, scooping and playing defense and everything. So it can be done.
No doubt. And you recognize the difference when Mountcastle's not at first base.
Yeah.
They don't have another guy that can pick it out of the dirt.
Well, how many errors does he prevent?
He says a lot. Let's hear more from Mike Elias as he talks about what attracted them to Sagano.
You know, a pretty high-profile free agent this year. He's had a tremendous career in the NPB. He was ready to take the leap to the major leagues. You know, we talked to him and his group at the winter meetings. We gave a presentation, and we explained how we felt that he fit with this team. You know, we were looking for starting pitching. He's somebody that's been extremely successful, has tremendous command. I'm very hungry to compete at the major league level.
I'm prepared to be pleasantly surprised. You know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I don't know what I'm getting. I know the guy knows how to pitch. I know the success that he's had in Japan. I'm not taking any of that away from him, but I'm also acknowledging that this is going to be a different challenge for him. I'm sure the Orioles vetted him out pretty well. I'm sure their scouting department did their job. I just have natural concerns about him being 35, making his debut in the major leagues right now. And the starting pitching was a need. Mike Elias just said it. You know, that was a need for them going into the offseason. I'm just hoping he is exactly what they were hoping for when they brought him in.
Yeah, I don't know how high profile he was. Elias was kind of trying to prop him up there and say that, you know, a lot of people were in on him. I didn't hear anyone else that I didn't even know his name until the Orioles signed him. I'm not going to lie to you. So I don't know how big his market actually was, but happy he's here. No doubt about it. My question is, at 35 years old, most pitchers at that age, pretty set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
They know what works. They know what doesn't work. But going from one league to another, is there anything about the coaching over here? Is there anything about the Orioles development system that could even tweak some things and maybe improve some things, even though he is 35 years old, the same way they would tweak a young prospect?
I would say one word stands for him: patience. I think you got to be patient, you know, to expect things right away. I don't know, because he's got to learn the league. He's got to learn MLB. Plus, I guess to his advantage is nobody knows him either, so he may have that advantage early on. But once they get the film on him, and then we'll find out really what he is.
And can he pitch every fifth day?
All right.
Because over there, much longer gaps between outings. You know, is he going to be able to hold up to that, again, with being a little bit up there in age?
410-583-1057 is the number. We'll start to take some of your calls in the next segment. We'll also reset. The Terps went over the Cornhuskers last night as well. That's next here on The Fan. Kevin Willard there after the win against Nebraska last night, talking about his center, Julian Reese, who has been one of their best players all year, easily their most improved player from last year to this year. And you know, Juju was a big part of their success last night. He's been a big part of their success this season, being available, number one, hitting his free throws, being the rim protector. He's clearly the vocal leader on the court as well. And that's what you want from your upperclassmen, some of your older players on the team, to take on that leadership role, to lead by example. And Julian's done that.
I was impressed with him. Like we talked off air, that touch pass that he had last night was really, mm-hmm. really impressive. But for a guy, you know, we talk about a guy that worked and everything. He's added weight. But the thing is he just worked his butt off to improve. All right, what is the weakest part of my game? The free throws. And now, you know, the guy has done a hell of a job. So to me, that talks about, like, his compete and his toughness and all that stuff. And being a veteran guy, he's probably great for Queen, is probably what he is, you know. So I like the way that he's playing and the what he's doing for them.
Yeah, brings a little smarts to the table. You know, he's been battling these Big Ten big men for years, knows all the tips, knows all the tricks. And you saw it last night. I found it ironic that he was the one that got teed up when he was trying to calm everyone mm-hmm. else on the team down last night. But yeah, for a young player like Queen, that's great to have a veteran presence like that to remind him, hey, you know, it's a long game here. You know, you can't get carried away right now. But I did also like him getting into it with the fan base a little bit there in Nebraska, you know, kind of chirping the student section. And when they were all filing out as the Terps were taking their final foul shots, gave a little, you know, little Jordan shrug there to some of the rich people sitting courtside.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Arbutus and get Ed. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Cordell, Vinny, good afternoon to you, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
What's going on?
The Maryland Terrapins hard-fought physical road victory, if they can avoid stacking losses this time of the year, final seeding should be favorable. They do have to continue to figure out sub-in rest patterns. People they can rely on. Raven roster thoughts, as you guys have been talking about, hopeful that Van Noy and Humphrey return, Stanley as well, but guessing not in that case. D side of the ball, draft picks needed, corner, another safety in the mix to free up Hamilton to roam. I like Xavier Watts at Notre Dame because he will run support bump in likeness to Ardarius Washington. Would also like to see another field floater in likeness to number 33 on the Eagles. Playmaker value pick. Every school has one. Go find it.
TJ Tampa is going to be that guy, Ed.
Okay. Okay.
I think he's identical to, you know, one went to Iowa and Tampa went to Iowa State. And both will be nickelbacks or safeties. And I think both would be good at either of those two positions.
Okay. So he's already here.
Yes.
Okay. Also, Vinny, as you were talking about, I like the edge play progress that we saw from Owe and Robinson this past year. Both have get their speed. And thinking possibly that Simpson could offer more in rotation. I did take notice of an edge guy draft pick with impressive first step explosion comes out of Marshall Thundering Herd, a guy named Mike Green.
Yeah, he improved a lot. A Senior Bowl, he was kind of a big surprise guy there.
Yeah. On the O side, backup mobile QB needed for just in case insurance. Hopefully it never happens, but you never know. We'd like to see Ravens draft select a multi-position O-lineman athlete who projects out. Rosengarten, in college, he was blindside right tackle due to a lefty QB, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so if Stanley goes, a decision occurs. Do you move him, Rosengarten, blindside left for new footwork, or leave him right side where he's always been and comfortable and look for a left side guy?
I think that decision's already been made.
Appreciate the call, Ed.
Ed, I think it's already been made. I think they're going to move him to the left side. You know, but, you know, if they were to take a left tackle in the first round, then I'm guessing that guy would play. But doesn't sound like there is anybody of that quality right now. I just think Rosengarten's going left. He's got that athleticism. He's got the feet and stuff to be able to do it. But like Ed said, he was a right tackle for a left-handed quarterback. So, yeah, will the footwork be different? No doubt the footwork will be different because you're kicking back with a different foot.
Yeah, and I think he has the smarts and the wherewithal to do it and the work ethic and all of that stuff. But it just adds another layer of questions, you know, for this offensive line. Rosengarten can play. We know that. But he's going to be playing a new position now. That goes into also having to replace, you know, fill two other spots on this line. Left guard, sure, Voorhees will be there. But look, the reality is we thought Voorhees was going to be their left guard this year, and that didn't turn out to be the case.
Then he got hurt. Yeah.
You know, so and if he was that great, he'd have got his job back after he got hurt.
Well, the thing is, you know, when you look at it, the right side of the line right now is a strength. So do you want to put a new left tackle in Rosengarten in with a new left guard, Voorhees? You know, so those are the things that they got. But I just think, Cordell, my gut tells me they've already made that decision and Rosengarten's going left.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I think he is going to be their starting left tackle next year. It's just concerning for me when you're talking about a team, you know, having Super Bowl aspirations and back-to-back years now, we're going to be talking about them pretty much revamping the offensive line again. I just don't know if the two correlate. If you think of the teams that was in the Super Bowl, those teams have, now granted, the Chiefs' offensive line, they've had a lot of moving parts this year as well. Joe Thuney playing all over the place, and they probably, and a lot of that was out of necessity for themselves, but you look at that Eagles' offensive line, they're as stable as it gets.
Well, really what you're looking at for the Ravens is you're only looking for one. You're looking for a right tackle. Otherwise, everybody else, you know, you kind of got idea who it's going to be.
Who's that right guard? Oh, Falele. Falele, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then left guard, like I said, we'll see. I mean, Voorhees, I seem like they had a lot of expectations for Voorhees this past year.
He was a starter till he got hurt, and then McCary came in and never lost the job. I didn't think Voorhees, when he played in that one game when McCary was out, I didn't think he played that bad. And I think he's another guy, Cordell, that'll get better with the more reps. I mean, the dude, the only thing with him is he's got a history injury.
Which is big.
And then
they don't have much depth as it stands today.
That goes where you need that sixth guy. To, so you need a right tackle and, you know, you need a versatile guy, a guard center type guy. Maybe that, what is it, Samek? I don't know if he's good, bad, or indifferent.
Right. I know as much as about him as you do. And that's, I guess, a good thing. You don't need to know much about the backup center right now.
I know is you can count on him being inactive every game.
That's a good thing. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Jared Dubin from CBS Sports. Talk some NFL with him. The Eagles have their parade going on in Philadelphia. We'll talk to him about the Super Bowl champs and everybody else who is going into the offseason with question marks about their team next here on The Fan.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.